Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Mufti Hassan Ali Suleiman, hope you well this morning.
Wa alaikum assalam. Alhamdulillah. Things are fine here in the great country of Pakistan. What about South Africa? Everything okay?
Alhamdulillah, all is well. Mufti Sahab, we just got a question that's come in here. But before we get to this question, we just like a, I know you've done this introduction previously, but it's always good because a new listener may feel encouraged and also feel motivated. The question is about whether Islam promotes the killing of non-Muslims, mushrikeen, just like that, with any, just going out openly, like how the rogue regime Israel has done, and they went upon the churches in Gaza and killed Christians there. Does Islam promote the same thing like this? But before we go into that question, Mufti Sahab, I know you've mentioned previously that you were born somewhere in 1970. No, it couldn't be 1975. 1975, you accepted Islam. Is this correct?
74.
1974.
74 accepted.
Okay. And when were you born?
1955.
Okay, so you were about more or less 20 years, 19 years when you accepted Islam.
Yeah, 19 plus.
Okay. When you came across verses like these, I'm going to mention it to you on air and mention it to the listeners as well so people have an idea. Because this is something that non-Muslims question, and like we've got this question that came through now. I can answer it. Other Muslims, born Muslims, can answer it. But I don't think it's going to hold the same weight as when you answer it. So I'm going to mention to you where is this verse in the Quran Sharif for our listeners so you can all take benefit from it. So you're going to Surah At-Tawbah and you are looking at verses number 4, 5 and 6. But specifically, the question relates to question, it refers to verse number 5 of Surah At-Tawbah. The verse is, فَإِذَنْ سَلَخَ الْأَشْهُرُ الْحُرُمُ. So when the sacred months expire, because that was the ruling, you could not fight in those sacred months. And we know the sacred months, Muharram, Rajab fall part of it, but three that come consecutively was Dhul Qadah, Dhul Hijjah, Muharram, and Rajab, which comes in between. So this year is the sacred months, which has been referred to here. Allah Azza wa Jal says, فَقْتُلُوا الْمُشْرِكِينَ حَيْثُ وَجَدْتُمُوهُمْ. Kill the mushriks wherever you find them. وَخُذُوهُمْ, and catch them. And وَحْصُرُوهُمْ, and besiege them. وَقْعُدُوا لَهُمْ كُلَّ مَرْصَدٍ, and sit in ambush for them everywhere. فَإِنْ تَابُوا, if they repent, وَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ, they establish salah, وَآتَوُوا الزَّكَاةَ, they pay zakah. فَخَلُّوا سَبِيلَهُمْ, leave their way, leave them. إِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Surely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most forgiving, most merciful. If we see the verse before that, because this is what people tend to do, is they isolate the verse without true and pure deep understanding, and they leave out the verses before that. If we look at the verses before that, it speaks about mushriks who had a treaty, and they had a treaty. So Allah Azza wa Jal mentions that you should fulfill that treaty. And when they break the treaty and they go against it, they start killing, they start doing this, that they call, like in today's world, you see ceasefire 1 minute, you see calls for coming in for humanitarian aid, and whilst they are standing there waiting for humanitarian aid, you're opening fire at these innocent people. So all of this takes place, and Islam is teaching us a lesson that in this particular verse which the Christian has sent, he's asking, is it true that Islam promotes the killing of Christians and or non-Muslims in general, which is your mushrikeen and the rest? So Mufti Sahab, when you saw these verses before, how did you come to understand it Can you just inform us of this?
Okay, so this was, I accepted Islam in 74. And I'm almost 70 now. So we're saying 50 years ago.
Yes.
And no, I didn't, obviously, the look wasn't the same then as it is now. Because 9/11 hadn't happened, okay, and Gaza wasn't happening, and all these other things, invasion of Afghanistan by Russia, and all these things. Islam was pretty much non-existent in the news, okay, at that time. So I didn't see these verses the way I can see them now. Okay. I just read through that. All right. When I first I got the Quran, the English translation by Muhammad Ali Qadiani. Okay. I read the Qadiani translation from Surah Fatiha to Surah Nas. Okay. And after reading the entire book, my idea was that this is the correct religion. Okay, and without looking at any particular small points that, oh, this doesn't make sense, that doesn't make sense, or this is problematic or anything. Nothing was problematic. The entire book was such, you know, such a good feeling for me that, you know, probably like Umar radiallahu anhu, when he, you know, he heard the Quran and he's ready, just ready to accept the deen. So that's how it was. I didn't have anybody, didn't have the press saying negative things back then. Okay, being a black man in America, the big thing was the black-white, you know, confrontations that were going on all the time. Muhammad Ali Clay, the boxer, he had just left being Cassius Clay, and now he's Muhammad Ali. And like that. So the big thing back then was Islam was a religion that was against white people, not necessarily, you know, looking at the Islam versus kafir dynamic. That was the big thing. It was a thing that Islam was what we were before we were enslaved by the Europeans and brought to America. That was our religion. So things like kill them wherever you find them, yeah, you don't even look at that. You didn't look at that back then. Okay, maybe now you can look at it. Yeah, because there's pushback. The Christian knows pretty much as much of the Quran, I think he does, as the Bible. These are the people that are doing da'wah for Christianity, all right? They're really Islamophobes. They can argue like this, but if you ask my mother doesn't know about these ayats of the Quran, all right? These are something, you know, you have to go read the Quran and go have to go look for it and find it. So you just read right through it. That's not the message. What is the message of the Quran and all the pages? All right, Tawheed, 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 Tawheed. All right, so, yeah, there's some killing over here, there's some killing over there, but that's the same as the Bible.
Hmm.
The Bible have these different killings of different tribes and what have you, the Jews fought against them, what have you. So, no, that wasn't it wasn't a big thing back then.
Hmm.
It wasn't a big thing. It was more that the belief that Islam is anti-white.
Hmm. And I think you've hit the nail there by saying that the Bible does also have these verses, and this would be a way to look at it and to quote those verses to these people as well, to say that your Bible also has it. So when your Bible has it, then why are you just excluding, or why are you taking out the Quran Sharif and making a noise about these verses of the Quran Sharif and saying that these verses actually promote what they have made to believe as Islam. We must also clarify here, and this is over the years it's been, you'll find all these groups in different countries, mostly known as the ISIS, and using Islamic names to give a confused or a blurred image of what the true meaning of jihad is. Jihad is not, I see a Christian on the road. Jihad is not, I just see a mushrik on the road and I open fire on him. This is not the meaning of jihad. This is the meaning that the West has used, that they have tried to develop these groups using names, Islamic names, and trying to then blow out, extinguish the light of Allah Azza wa Jal in these various forms. So you'll find ISIS, Shabab, all of these people. But they have nothing to do with Islam. We as true Muslims, we totally reject these people, and we know how a big noise was being made here in South Africa when a few years ago, the calls for it came and many Muslims got caught up in it. And then we saw statements released by our seniors. There was meetings being held, lectures being to warn of who is ISIS and you shouldn't be joining. Today, when we speak to those victims, when they joined ISIS and they give report backs, then you understand that they even mentioned that it's just amazing that we were one of very few people who actually came out of it. Other people are still stuck there. They trap you in and they threaten you, just like Epstein files and all the rest. Once you got caught with those females, now they can use it against you as evidence. So they use these different ways. Conniving is the word. But this year is not Islam. But when jihad is this exactly, that when you posing a threat to our worship, you don't want us to worship Allah freely. If you're looking at it in today's world, to get food, humanitarian aid. I mean, I just saw an article here now, just now. And this was, you can just see the message that's been given here. Messages like you've never heard before. And these are from US military veterans. He said he's been deployed 12 times to 4 different war zones. But he's never seen such violence carried out against unarmed civilians as that by Israeli soldiers and U.S. mercenaries in Gaza. These are his words. He said in his entire life, he's a 25-year-old, and he says in his entire life, I can send all the article. It's on, you can find it, MiddleEastEye.net. He's never found in his entire military career, he's not even been allowed to be part of or even a bystander to the use of force against unarmed innocent civilians. And Mufti Saab, you are pretty vocal on this, and that's what makes us happy, that standing in a queue and you're being killed. This year is the heights. This is what is being ignored. And they are Muslims. They are, did we hear of Palestinians going out when they were all these Jews and Zionists around there opening fire, just like how Baruch Goldstein did on in 1994 in the Masjid Khalilur Rahman, Hebron Masjid. It was the 25th of February. So what do you speak about when you isolate Islam and say about all of these things?
Yeah, well, look at what America did to the Native Americans. This is why the Jews feel they can do this. Some reports say it was 100 million Native Americans who were killed in order for the European to take over the country and make this a Western country. Okay? And they didn't kill all the people at once. It was over generations that the Natives were killed. So the Natives were having children and they were being killed also. The same way the Jews are doing now. The Christians did it first, okay, and they did it throughout Africa. We talk about spreading by the sword. They used to say that about Islam, spreading by the sword. And yes, Islam did spread by the sword. It spread by trade. It spread by many ways. But no one was ever forced to accept Islam. No one, no soldier, no jihadist never said, took his sword and say, accept Islam or die. Okay, but yes, we would fight the country, we'd take over the government, and then we would allow the Da'is to come in and give the dawah to the people If they wanted to accept, they could. If they didn't want to accept, there was no problem. How long did we control India? Okay, and 700 years or 900 years, we could control India. And then the British came and took us out of power. But there's still Hindus there. There's still non-Muslims there. The same with Spain. We ruled Spain for 700 years. In 1492, it ended. And the people, there were still non-Muslims there, even though we ruled there for 700 years. So it's completely different. The founder of Kenya, Jomo Kenyatta, all right, that great man, he said that when I was a child, we had the African had the land, and the Christian had the Bibles, okay? And when I became an adult, we had the Bibles, the Africans, and the Europeans owned the land, okay? The Islam didn't do that, okay? Your land always stayed your land. The government, the way the government ruled, it was different because of the Caliphate, okay? But no, we didn't do any forced conversions, anything like that. Churches remained churches, okay? If they needed to be repaired, no problem. They could be repaired. So that type of stuff, you know, didn't happen. But most people, most Christians don't know the Bible. So, of course, they don't know the Quran. They cherry pick. They take one ayat here, one ayat there. But if as a person who went to church all the time, yeah, we understood that the Old Testament was different than the New Testament. Okay, the Old Testament at the time, Musa and Daud and Suleiman back then, the God there was a God of war and revenge and earthquakes and fire and brimstone and, you know, things like this. But the New Testament is what everyone wants to talk about, where someone hits you in the face on the right side, then you turn the left side. Okay, you don't fight back. Isa alayhi salam is known as the Prince of Peace. Okay, but we read about David and Goliath in the Old Testament. Okay, the fight of Daud alayhi salam. So if you know your religion, if you know your Bible, then you'll see more stories of violence in the Bible than you do in the Quran. But the people say now, well, it's been, the Old Testament has been, canceled. Everything now is on grace. All right. And they come up with this garbage that Allah had a son and that he, na'udhu billah, was slaughtered to forgive everyone. But no one ever believed that before. If you look at Adam alayhi salam, you look at Musa alayhi salam, no one believed in the Trinity until after Isa alayhi salam was brought back to Jannah by Allah. Even when he was alive, there was no thought of Trinity and this so-called grace, forgiveness for a man's original sin. People don't know. I learned more. Matter of fact, although I went to Sunday school and studied the Bible, I learned more about the Bible when I took a course that Abdul Malik taught. And he was a person who left New York and went to South Africa and studied under Ahmed Didat and learned all the things that Ahmed Didat taught. He came back and he taught us in New York. And that's what I really learned about the Bible. Because you go to the church and you listen to the same stories and the same verses by the preacher all the time. But the Bible's a pretty big book, okay? And much of it is the people don't read about it. We talk about Isa alayhi salam saying that, he's peaceful and didn't fight a jihad or anything like that. But then you look at the ayahs where he said, I didn't come to unite families. I came to break families up, to separate father from son, brother from sister. Okay? When he was being surrounded by the Romans, he told his followers, if you don't have a sword, go buy one. Okay? If you don't have money, sell your coat and buy a sword so we can fight jihad. Okay? This is in the Bible too, but no one reads that. All right? When I became a Muslim, then I read that stuff. Acha, okay. So, there we are.
I've just been, as you've been saying, always this message and the slogan, Islam's grip by the sword. But when we see in the Bible, Luke, and you see verse 24, you find this verse there. And it mentions that Jesus, this verse speaks about, and it is part of the Jesus prophecy about the destruction of Jerusalem and the end of age. It also describes how people will be killed in battle, fall by the edge of the sword, and also taken away as captives. So if you see, there is much more that is being spoken about on these issues in the Bibles, as you've mentioned, but many Christians are not aware of what's exactly in their Bibles. So, and we say Bibles intentionally because, as many of our seniors say, that there are so many versions of the Bible that even the virgins are confused as to how many there are. So, as you've said, they are not educated, so they're just hyped up by these slogans to attack Islam. But it just shoots their own doors, because then you present these verses and then they become shocked by this. So, Mufti Sahib, this is a good opportunity as well to say that when you discovered Islam now, and alhamdulillah, for 50 years, you're going strong and you just got deeper. You've now gone on to become a scholar, a mufti. And what's your understanding, and what message can you give to Christians who have this mindset and just believe that Islam is just about killing? Or it could be Jews for that matter, because many Jews are even waking up now and they are seeing that the actual enemies are those who can stand and aim their bullets at people, children, women and children who are standing in queues just because they're hungry. I love the statement you made just yesterday or the day before, where you said that these are just people, they have to make a decision. It's a catch-22 situation. Do I go for the food or do I just die in hunger? If I go for the food, it's a mousetrap. So people are waking up to this. But sadly so, there are still some who are still holding back onto this narrative, this false narrative. What's your message to them, Mufti Sahib?
Some people, we understand their hearts are hard like stones and they won't be changed. The proper answer, I believe, would be to go and speak to a Muslim. To sit down and speak to a Muslim, okay? If you have any kind of question about Islam. But unfortunately, in the West, there are very few, one, real Muslims, and number two, especially Muslim scholars who are not apologetic, all right, and will not give you the straight answer. This is back during the time of the Sahaba, if you had any question about Islam, you could get the proper answer from the Sahaba, and they would not apologetic about things. Although the dominant religions or majority of people were definitely not Muslim, okay, at that time. But yet the Sahaba had so much confidence in what they were saying that they were convincing. Okay, you did not leave them unless they clearly told you that, listen, this way that we are on is the right way, okay? And there's no other right way but this way. If you don't accept this way before you die, when you die, you will go to hell forever. Understand that, all right? In the West, we don't say that, okay? But that's what the non-Muslim needs to hear, okay? Because he doesn't believe his government, right? Look who's in charge of America. A 34-time convicted felon, okay? Donald Trump, all right? Whose best friend was a pedophile, and Jeffrey Epstein, all right? And look at Bill Clinton and all the rest, all right? Qabis Ibn Qabis, all of them. And America's fed up with their leaders. They can see, as you mentioned, but they can see that they're in the hands of the Israeli AIPAC. Okay, is it 23% of the Americans now feel that Israel is okay with what they're doing? So meaning 70-something percent doesn't agree with Israel, and that's completely unheard of. But we need to be able to speak with boldness to the non-Muslim that we are correct. The book that was given to us has been protected. It is from Allah, and it is the way to go. And it is the way of all the prophets before Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We have to stop this idea that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the first Muslim. No, he was the last Muslim prophet. Okay? But Adam alayhi salam was the first Muslim. And even the Quran talks about, you know, this one was Muslim and the children of Yaqub were Muslim and but we don't give the right dawah. Okay? That's what we need. We need to be able to show the non-Muslim through our lifestyle that this is the way to go. But that's not the case. So it's very difficult when we say this or that. Like when I would give dawah before I came here, people say, Hassan, I understand what you're saying. It sounds all good. But what about the Muslim who owns the store on the corner? And he sells wine. And he sells pork. And he sells, the adult movies. Okay? What about that? So we have, yes, we have the truth in the Quran, but we don't have people living the Quran. And this is what the person, Brian Laura, the cricketer, when he spent so much time with Tariq Jamil, you know, and he said, yeah, I agree with what you're saying about Islam, but can you show me where Islam is being practiced? And Tariq Jamil said, well, the only place really is being practiced is the madrasa, and I can't take you to a madrasa. Okay, you have to be Muslim. So here's the thing. Okay, when the person who was down from the Tabi'in asked Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, what was the personality of the Prophet also? And she said, don't you know? He was the Quran walking. And so was her father, and so was Umar, and so was Usman, and so and on and on and on. But where are the people who we can say that are following the Quran the proper way, so we can show. Like, I'm Muslim for 50 years. There's very few people I can show my family that, yeah, this is the way Islam is. It's not just me, all right? I'm so different from all the other Muslims that my family knows. Okay, because most, before I found Islam, the only Muslims that I saw had girlfriends. They were clean shaved. They drank. They wore Western clothes. Very few were the proper dress and the proper, adab and akhlaq. Very few of them. And many of them, they hadn't been to the madrasa, so they really didn't know Islam. Okay? But they had the iman, but they didn't have the right approach. The people who had come from Muslim countries, Muslim families, etc. Their attitude and their character was the same as the West. So here's the problem.
Jazakumullah khairan.
People will accept. How many people have accepted Islam since 9/11? How many people have accepted Islam since this Gaza thing has started? Okay, the people will accept, but we don't have the people to talk to them. And give them the right guidance. So now they're accepting Islam, and their imam is AI. They get all their answers from the from AI now.
Exactly. I just I shared with the listeners just now that there was this person, seems to be a scholar, and he took a verse which was sent to him and he put it in AI. The verse was incorrect. AI used that same verse and they're doing a commentary on a verse which is not even in the Quran Sharif. And they're presenting it to you with the reference and the rest. So they can't pick up these things. They're not sharp enough. But I guess we are just, you know, always looking to their lifestyles, looking to what's the new trends and just following blindly without applying that which Allah Azza wa Jalla has given us. And that is fitrah, that natural inclination and that natural intelligence to say that this is the truth. Mufti Sahab, we appreciate your time and inshallah, your answer and your motivation will be a help for many people who ask these same questions. We'll meet you on Monday now. Make dua for us as well. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah.